Welcome everyone to Sustainability Unraveled, a podcast presented by TÜV SÜD. What can you expect? Complex sustainability issues will be transformed into clarity so it is easy for you to understand. I'm your host, Laura Oberhausen, and I'm joined by my co-host, Cornelia Stone.
Thanks, Laura, and a warm welcome to all our listeners. Thank you for joining us for today's episode, where we'll deep dive into the world of sustainable fashion and textiles.
The episode is called Fabricating Change, Sustainable Textiles and Fashion, and as the title already indicates, we'll be exploring the intersections of social and environmental responsibility within the fashion industry. One thing is clear, it's not just a business subject, it's something we can all relate to, as obviously we all wear clothes and make purchasing decisions on a regular basis.
For the fashion industry, every step in the supply chain plays a critical role in its overall sustainability footprint, from the sourcing of raw materials to the disposal of finished goods. The steps towards sustainability are complex and often difficult for companies to navigate, particularly due to the diversity of its production structures.
As consumers become more aware of the impact of their purchases, companies are facing more pressure to act sustainably, but also ethically. In fact, more than 50% of consumers say that sustainability is important to them when making purchasing decisions in the industry in 2023. This share of consumers is expected to keep growing through different drivers we would like to discuss with you today. Meanwhile, we're still seeing growth in big fast fashion retailers that offer competitive pricing. This raises the question of how these companies can meet sustainability requirements as they grow. We'll look at companies at different stages of their sustainability journey in today's episode, giving us a good overview of the main challenges and the trends in this field.
Growing attention to climate change has led to an increased focus on ESG issues and life cycle assessment within the industry. For those who haven't heard of ESG before, it stands for environmental, social, and governance. Environmental management, climate strategy, and the impact of products have been identified as the top challenges for textile and apparel industries in 2023. This raises crucial questions about how organizations can maintain environmental and social standards while navigating the complexities of the fashion industry. The fashion industry needs to integrate sustainability into its core operations to drive tangible change.
Absolutely. Sustainability is a big part of what businesses do these days. From cutting greenhouse gas emissions to reducing waste and making sure workers are treated fairly, companies have to embrace sustainability if they want to stay competitive.
Today's conversation will unpack the critical role of sustainable textiles and fashion in shaping the future of the industry. We'll explore the hurdles and the opportunities fashion brands are facing as they strive to adopt more sustainable practices and drive positive social and environmental impact.
So, whether you're involved in the fashion industry, an advocate for sustainability, or simply intrigued by the fusion of fashion and environmental responsibility, this episode is the right one for you.
To guide us through this exploration, we are really happy to welcome our TÜV SÜD expert, Matthias Rosenthal. Welcome to our podcast. It's great to have you here. To give our listeners a better understanding who you are, I would like to ask you to tell us a bit about your background and the expertise in the field of sustainable fashion and supply chain management.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon. I'm really happy to be here and thanks for the invitation and the chance to talk with you about the sustainability current status we do have in the textile industry. When you see it on my business card, I'm in charge for the soft lines. And soft lines is a definition in our industry for combining textiles and leather articles globally. When I was 4 years ago starting was my career in the textile and leather industry, I wear very often in Asia, and we are talking about production, quality, and on time and price and all these things. And I was at that time really concerned, oh, we can bring all these things together, that articles come quickly, efficiently produced, payable, and above all, in the agreed quality in a kind of external production without being there permanently on site. This is a huge challenge, and this is the fun I have in my business. And that's the reason why TÜV SÜD comes into play, how we can help our customers, mainly in the business field.
That's really interesting to hear, especially what you said about your international experiences and background. And this is also where many industries operate, as you say. So My first question would be about the most pressing environmental issues facing fashion today. Could you name them and also speak about how sustainability efforts could address them?
Yes, you hit a very good point. I mean, sustainability is, I would say, in the last 5-10 years, one of the mega trends in our industry for textile and leather. We are helping customers, supporting customers in the B2B atmosphere, but they are selling goods to consumers, consumers like Cornelius, like you, Laura, like me. And we are looking for some sustainable production and addressing this to our customers from TÜV SÜD, telling them how you can use and can control using resources in a production be minimized or do it in an efficient way that we have from the starting of the supply chain with cotton cultivation and ultimately extends to the textiles waste, the whole process, which is very complex and global impacted, how we can make transparency inside and how we can use resources in a very sustainable manner. But these steps are very, very individual because we see the market. Consumer goods are individual, design-oriented, practice-oriented. So there is not a general applicable rule or statement here what we can use. But to keep the keywords in our mind means environmental impact, resources consumptions like water, land, how we are treating workers, what does it mean circular economy in your field. All these includes the use of necessary chemicals as well as an effect of increasing requirements in regard of the product safety.
That's quite a list of different factors at play that you just mentioned. And I mean, that again shows us how complex this field really is. To, let's say, make it even more complex or to complete this point of view, we also need to take a look at other such as social aspects, right? So what part do they actually play in creating a sustainable piece of clothing?
Yes, of course, we do not have a kind of organization producing shoes or textiles like when we are using some industrial production. We do have an impact of manual worker has to be done. That's considering as well that we have a global organized industry. All these things come to a point that the political parties are saying, okay, it looks like we do have not the full transparency in the production side. And that's the reason why for 1 year ago, the Supply Chain Due Diligence Act by the German political parties come into place as a first legal regulation to address these kind of living conditions of the population in the producing countries. So it means, in other words, the question is, the production deprives the local population of their living conditions, for example, through deforestation of the rainforest or using of water resources, that at the end, these kind of people doesn't have enough water for living? Or how is the pollution of the soil and air by these production residues? Social aspects are nothing new in this industry, and it's tackled via various laws and regulation since many years, based on some association standards, some of the country-specific requirements. So it is a topic which is really addressed long time ago.
Matthias, you mentioned earlier that building a circular economy is important. Could you explain what a circular economy is and provide some background on the concept?
Yeah, circular economy, it's an important part of our customer sustainability strategy. It's a kind of how I put in new production resources for producing new consumer goods. But the definition of circular economy, it's not very well known, or it's differently understood by some stakeholders. It could be a closed circular economy, which means you have one material, and after the end of life, circle life is coming, you can put all this material again, producing new material or new article. Or you have an open circular economy, which means, for example, all of you are looking very sportive. You are buying outdoor material, which is very often comes from recycled polyester. But this recycled polyester is not coming from an old shirt. It comes from a PET bottle. So here in this case, when we do have these kind of recycled polyester coming from a PET bottle, we have an open circular economy. And this is not something which is really in the interest of all of us. The best would be to have a closed circular economy, but for textiles, it's not so easy from the technical side, because a shirt could be used, produced from various kind of materials, and later to separate it again and put it again in a circular economy, it's at the beginning to think about how materials development and all the other things can address this, that we do not have this kind of situation, that we are collecting old used textiles and shoes and exported them to other development countries where they go through another life cycle. But this, what I said at the beginning, must be decided from each brand and company, because they have not homogeneous materials, not homogeneous articles. So what we are using here is to have a full range of services we can offer in regard of sustainable and recyclable. But the question would be at the end by a brand, by a customer, how to handle it.
Okay, thanks for explaining that. Also took something away and learned something from those different concepts. And based on what you just said, textile waste and the end of the life cycle is crucial, right? So what are the impacts in this sense, and how is this evolving in the fashion industry?
Yeah, we have a lot of initiatives and activities by companies, and some are focused and looked out by some associations or directly by themselves. The difficulty we do have is that in this industry, the demand of one or the impact of one company to the global sourcing market is limited. So when some of our customers are telling their suppliers, I would like to have these kind of sustainable aspects into my production, they have very often the problem to realize it, because the demand of the market demand is too small, too limited. So this, the trend is now to think about how we can use this kind of due diligence act we have from the legal side now into place to make and bring more transparency inside, that this kind of member of an association can work together. But in practice, as I said, the economic interest of our customers must not be homogeneous, because at the end they are in competition. And for this, we need to see how we can structure their sustainable demand in the sourcing side much more better as in the past.
And what about recyclability, Matthias? Does the recyclability of fabrics play an important role as of today?
Recyclability is one part, of course. One question to you. When did you have your last reparation of your shoes?
Actually, for business shoes, I do it. I replace actually the sole from time to time. For my private shoes, I actually throw them away because they're really worn out.
And this is a sign that we see over the last years as well, that we see here the repairability as one part of recyclability. It is very important to produce, to design articles which have a chance for making repairability if I want. Unfortunately, the market is not reacting on this very quickly, but as a good example by Cornelius, when he is repairing his business shoes, is a part of a sustainable activity we have. So we see here a lot of parts of a puzzle where we can bring together and have at the end a picture of a sustainable activities by ourselves, how we consume it. But at the end, to design a product, to produce a product which give us a chance to make an repairability, that would be nice from my side.
Now, you already mentioned the consumer perspective and what consumers can do. If we take on the other side again, so manufacturers also have to make sure that the materials are safe, besides the other aspects that we already talked about. So how can this be secured?
Yeah, you mentioned you are referring to a consumer production part here, which means when I wear these kind of articles, so how can I be sure that they are in conformity with all legal requirements we do have, especially for using chemical substances and so on. And these kind of regulations are here for several decades into place and originally based on a German legislation. So for more than 20 years, the Germans started to make a creation or to create a standard saying which kind of substances we will not have in our articles later. And this was transposed now into the European law, like what, as an example, REACH. But at the end, we need to consider that chemical substances are not per se very bad, because we use it, we need it, as in order to have a color, to have a strength and grip from the material. Or we need to have some characteristics of the materials that at the end comes from these kinds of substances. But the point is how much if there remain certain level in the end product later. And this called we in the wording like harmful substances, which is an enormously and huge part of our sustainable activities for our customers.
When we talked previously, you also mentioned Geox has a really nice case. Can you further elaborate on that, and especially the context of harmful substances that you just mentioned?
Yes. When a customer like Geox is asking us, I spent a lot of activities and investment with TÜV Süd in order to be our exclusive partner for taking care of these kind of requirements in our global productions. Then when Geox is publishing this in their webpage or on their marketing campaign, consumers will normally not really wake interest about it. But we as a TÜV Süd TIC industry service provider is making a claim as a marketing claim on a hang tag, something like this. And this gives the information to the consumers that Geox is taking care and looking out really for the interest of the consumers, not having these kind of chemical substances or have full transparency in their supply chain by using the raw material, or as well what we said before, the social aspects of their workers, that they treat them in a code of conduct manner, that they are really fair paid and treated during these kind of activities.
So what you just mentioned is adherence to regulations and showing that what you're doing is actually checked. We do have other cases as well or examples of companies that go even one step further. Do you have an example in mind for that?
Yes. The shoe industry is a very important industry because we do have a lot of components in a shoe. We have more than 30, 35, 40 different components, and we need to be sure that all these aspects of chemical substances are considered. And a lot of customers saying, okay, we can address this on the legal side, but additionally, for instance, Deichmann is one example, and perhaps a lot of people are thinking, Deichmann, I'm really surprised about it, but they spend really great activities on this in order to make as well pre-tests so that the raw material is tested before we do have the final article. The second one is that they have a manual, or the customers are writing a manual, we call it restricted substances list, which is not only fulfill the requirements from the legal side, which go a little bit down in order to be sure that at the end, not through this kind of complexity in the supply chain, it comes to some impact of higher level of residence of chemicals, so that they are sure when the shipment is released that all articles are in conformity during the shipment from Asia.
Very interesting to hear. In our previous episodes, we've talked more about the pressure on companies that the consumer doesn't necessarily see. So it's interesting to address a market where consumer demand also plays such a strong role in shaping the industry. And actually, I'm quite happy to hear that companies are taking a lot of actions towards sustainability. Nevertheless, there's still a topic of greenwashing or the deceptive marketing of products as environmentally friendly when they are not. How can consumers and companies differentiate between authentic sustainability efforts and greenwashing tactics? And what steps can companies take to ensure transparency and credibility in their sustainability claims?
Yes, you are fully right, Cornelius. The problem of greenwashing has been recognized by the European Union, and we are expecting in the next time corresponding requirements on this. The reason is that the topic shows the complexity of sustainability. What means for someone it's too little to one person, it's already unrealizable for another one. So the range is very huge, and as a middle way, it needs to be found here, above all, with the aim of educating consumers and not irritating them. Educating sometimes is perhaps not the right word, but to talk to them and to give the mission through the articles, what is the sustainable strategy of the brand, and not make some heading and tell them that in the reality it is not true. This is exactly what the European Union is thinking about now. But at the end, I do have one simple answer for you. When companies who are export or importing goods working with a third party like Tissot on a certification, then the risk of a greenwashing can be minimized. The proof for the company's efforts can be provided. This is one possible solution.
That's very good to hear, actually. That's also a benefit which we are providing as Tissot as a tech company to that industry.
And I mean, circling back to what you already said about Geox, this was also the case for them, right?
Yes, it is, because they spend and invest a lot of activities in a breathable soul. This was the original market claim by them. And we were able to certify these kinds of claim. And at the end, they can use the Tissot as one transmission to bring this information to the market, to their consumers.
I mean, you mentioned regulations a few times. So can you describe the current regulatory framework that especially enforces sustainable practices in the fashion industry? I mean, you mentioned Germany as a starting point and like developing further to the European Union, but is there anything you would still like to add?
Yes, I must add one point that based on my experiences, legislation is always the trigger point. As well, the society and the legislation are the driver to make one step further in regard to sustainable. We need to offer services that give the full spectrum of needs, and a combination of consumers and regulation provide the base for our business. If we know that we have two areas, minimum requirements of our customers and the legal requirement, then both together combine, we from Tissot can develop services to at least cover the intersection of both areas. This primarily includes tests, inspection, auditing, and as well as certifications.
Actually, you talked a lot about local regulations, but I guess a lot of manufacturers are acting on a global scale. So how does the global regulatory framework look like, and what do the companies have to respect when they produce on a global scale and actually sell their products on a global scale? Now with the European Championship, for example, they're selling jerseys across the whole world. How do the companies have to take care of meeting all the requirements on a global scale?
I think our comments on the previous questions clearly show that this is a global trend and that no individual company or country can escape it. But as I said, we are looking out for the interests of our customers, and we are working with global companies and brands that offer a full range of products that apply equally to all sales countries. And sales countries means United States, North America, Europe, Asia. Take, for example, we are working for Adidas, and we do have now the soccer jersey on the European Championship, which is produced for the whole world and not only for Germany. And I mean away the jersey in pink, of course.
Yeah, so many different factors at play. Beyond this, what do you see as the biggest obstacles hindering widespread adoption of sustainable practices in the fashion industry? And how can these challenges be overcome?
Yeah, we must see that the textile and clothing industry is characterized by globalization and complexity. And I know not so many other industries that surpass it. For us, too, this requires an organization that represents the interests of our customers globally and we look out for their interest wherever in the world we are doing services for them. And we are specialists in offering the same service all over the world. So when we do, coming back to the example of Adidas, working with them in India, in Vietnam or in China. And we have in our customer portfolio, so therefore for our services we are offering, sometimes global organizations where they have own organizations as well on the sourcing side in Asia, or we have then mid-range companies. But at the end, all of them have the same needs of services. What's happened when they place an order for producing consumer goods, textiles, shoes, in the production side?
Thank you very much, Matthias, for all your insights. You mentioned the local legislative frameworks as well as the framework on the European Union. But there are manufacturers that are actually producing on a global scale and also selling their products globally. What do they have to consider?
Yes, of course. Our comments on this previous question, on these previous questions, clearly show that this is a global trend, that no individual company or country can escape it. We at TÜV SÜD work with global companies and brands that offer a range of products that apply equally to all sales countries, which means North America, Europe, Asia. Take, for example, the soccer jersey from the European Championship in Germany currently. You can buy it all over in the world. And this shows us we must consider country-specific requirements, but companies are working globally.
Yeah, wow. So many different factors at play. Beyond that, what do you see the biggest challenges hindering widespread adoption of sustainable practices in the fashion industry? And how can these challenges be overcome?
Yeah, now I must unfortunately mention something which is coming more and more in the interest of our customers is the current political developments we do have, the return to the regulations that we know more from the nation states. But sustainability first means additional costs that must be borne by everyone involved, as well we as a consumer. If this contribution is not insured, further development will be difficult and will have to be paid for.
Yeah, that's a really important point. And to finish up, we always try to think about future developments and innovation. So if we take a look towards the future, how does the growing interest in sustainable textiles impact innovation? Are there potential solutions to the challenge and what could they look like?
Thanks, Laura. You have touched a very important point. Innovation, I think, is the very most important issue in this industry. What other industry managed to bring new fashion trends that emerge very suddenly to stores worldwide within a few weeks, taking all regulation into account? The development cycles in the automotive industry, for instance, are much longer. The industry ultimately thrives on creativity, design, speed, and sales price. So from this, the innovation is one of the key factors for this industry in the future. And the question would be now how we can combine these two things into one very attractive garment or shoes that we were able to buy it and have the demand as well in the future.
Thank you very much, Matthias, for having you here and for your interesting insights. Now let's wrap up this episode with the key takeaways of our discussion. I would like to start with the fact that over half of the consumers in 2023 were thinking about sustainability when they bought clothes. The fashion industry is under immense pressure to adopt more sustainable practices. This growing demand from consumers is a big driver for change.
The fashion industry faces significant challenges, including resource consumption, environmental impacts, and also ensuring fair labor practices. Addressing these issues requires navigating complex regulations, and developing effective sustainability strategies.
The manner in which the fashion industry operates, from the procurement of raw materials to the production of textiles and the subsequent disposal of worn-out items, has a significant impact on the industry's overall sustainability. Each stage of the process is crucial for the industry as a whole to demonstrate responsibility towards the environment and society.
Absolutely. And that's why emphasizing the circular economy is essential for sustainable fashion. This involves recycling and reprocessing old textiles and shoes, ensuring their durability and repairability, and extending their life cycle.
legislation, and consumer demand are key drivers of sustainable practices in the fashion industry. Companies must meet minimum sustainability standards, and innovation is crucial for developing new sustainable materials and responding quickly to fashion trends while maintaining regulatory compliance.
Matthias, is there anything else you would like to add?
Yes, if you would like to find out more information about sustainability in the fashion field, we are also excited to announce the launch of our new podcast, 100% Made in Sustainability, focused exclusively on the different facets of making this industry future-proof.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. We hope our chat with Matthias gave you some useful insights and inspiration, whether you're looking to apply them to your own business or just wanted to know more.
Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you can stay updated on our upcoming episodes. We have some exciting content lined up, including digital footprints, as well as discussions in different fields.
Your feedback is really important to us, so feel free to reach out with any thoughts or ideas for future episodes. Let's keep building a community that is committed to sustainability and positive change. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time.